Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fanelli.
Everyone all set? Cock locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Kyle Harris is with us, and he's providing addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division of some of the things I've mentioning regarding the book. He's adding his comments, his experience, his suggestions, etc. Kyle, I mentioned the holes in the plugs of AC corded devices. What do you think about that being the wiper to clean off the contact so that it removes, by inserting the plug into the receptacle or the outlet, that it removes the little pitting spots so that the receptacles last longer and the plugs last longer? What are your thoughts?
I think that very well could be, Vince. You know, there's one other thought that occurred to me during the break on that issue. You know, as well as I do, that when electricity is traveling down a wire, okay, so it's being, if you plug it in, you've got power, you know, amperage and voltage being applied to the wire. But most of that amperage and power is being transferred on the outside of the wire. You know that as well. The electrons travel on the outside of the wire. And that's why stranded wire will allow more amperage to get through you will find than solid wire. So my thought there, the only other thought that's possible on that would be, I wonder if that dynamic, I'm not an engineer, but I wonder if that dynamic of having the hole in there allows more amperage to be transferred to the plug to make the device operate better. I don't know.
What you're talking about, electricity traveling on the outside of the wire. So think of it like this, class, a garden hose. Instead of the electricity traveling through the hose, as water would, the electricity travels on the skin, and that's called the skin effect. So there's two ways of looking at this. And AC electricity, believe it or not, alternating current, travels on the skin. DC travels through the wire. So we do it exactly backwards. If you go to a car, we use stranded wire. If you go to the house, we use solid wire. In the commercial buildings, we use stranded wire, and we wire commercial buildings for AC. The reason I believe that is because of the flexibility. If you use the solid wire to connect your starter or your headlights, your taillights, your radio, you know, all that jiggling and moving, it would cause the wire to bend and bend and bend and finally break. So that's why they use stranded wire in automobiles, and it's cheaper to make solid wire than it is to make stranded wire. So we use solid wire for AC wiring in houses because you just put it in place and you leave it. And it doesn't bend and flex too much. Those are my thoughts. But you are right about electricity traveling on the outside. And that's called the skin effect. So if you look at your garden hose, it's not when you pump water through it, you don't want a lot of skin effect because the water goes through the hose. And if you had like 1,000 little tiny, tiny, tiny pipettes for a garden hose, you wouldn't get any water through because of all the restriction of the skin effect. So those are a couple comments. Kyle, I wanted to mention something that it bothers me when I see it, and that is trailer hitches. I have never seen anyone here in Missouri have a trailer hitch that they've used where the ball isn't substantially worn and the hitch itself isn't worn. And that's because what they do is they just, when they hook up their trailer, they just put the hitch on the ball, and off they go. You know, they make sure that it's latched properly. But they don't clean the ball, and they don't take a rag and clean out the inside of the trailer hitch, you know, where it connects to the ball. They don't wipe the grit out of it. So what you've got is the equivalent of sandpaper rubbing between the ball and the hitch. And it just wears and wears and wears. And then that connection becomes sloppy. And as you go down the road, bang, 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 and it beats up the truck, it beats up the trailer, it beats up the driver. It's crazy. And that's not what we do. What we do is whenever we hook up a trailer, we have a bunch of them, all kinds of trailers. We've got a gooseneck trailer. We've got like a 10-foot. We've got a 8-foot. We've got an 18-foot car hauler. We've got a 16-foot utility trailer. We've got a whole bunch. We have cattle trailer. We've got a lot of trailers. And what we do is we wipe out with a paper towel the grit that might be in the hitch, and we wipe off the ball. And then we put grease, fresh grease, on that cleaned ball. We wipe it around the mating surfaces so that there's lubrication, so that the ball and hitch don't wear against each other metal on metal. And I don't know anybody else around here in Missouri that does that. What are your thoughts?
It's funny. It's so funny you mentioned this stuff, Vince. I can't even hardly believe it sometimes. I want to just bust out laughing. Because I don't do exactly what you do, but I will carry an older rag in my pickup. And not every time, but many times before I will hook the hitch up to my trailer, I will go out there with that oily rag and wipe off the hitch on the on the ball, and then just use the same rag and rub inside the trailer ball part. But what I have done is I usually carry also in my truck some of that white spray-on white grease, and so I just hit it with a little tiny bit of grease before you drop the trailer hitch onto it. But anyway, just like you said, you know, if you and folks, this kind of stuff that Vince is and Vince is OCD and he knows it, and I am too a little bit. But not near to the great degree that he is, but he's a scientific OCD guy. And so one of the things that you will find is that down the road, he will not have to replace the stuff that he's got, and you will if you don't do it. If you don't use maintenance and forethought and pre-planning in your life to be able to keep things going, you're going to have to fix it. And it isn't any fun to cut a hitch off of a trailer and have to weld on a new one, you know, or C1 brake. I saw that just recently. The hitch was so rusted on this trailer that the trailer come undone. Luckily, the chains held on this pickup, and he was parked alongside the road on the way into town because the trailer hitch from the on the trailer side, the female receptacle of that had rusted through and broke. These are kind of tips that I think that, you know, our grandfathers and our fathers had, and they took care of things, and because they didn't have the money to go out and fix it, it was out of necessity. But Vince is telling you, and I'm telling you, things that will cost you less in the long run, but with just a little bit of physical and mental forethought and physical work. It takes very little to wipe off a ball of your trailer with an oily rag, or and then wipe out the inside of the hitch that you're hooking up to. It just takes so little to do that. And these are just little things, just like putting that. Now, it's more trouble to get underneath a vehicle, a truck, and put that wiring loom cover over the wire. But which is worse, to have to replace the entire wiring harness underneath there, or to just take a little bit of effort, slide that stuff over, and put some tie wraps on it, and then you know you're right, you're done. And then when you also do it yourself, you can pull those wires up sometimes and move them up out of the way, out of the direct travel of the gravel and dirt and grit. So that's the reason these tips of Vince's and mostly Vince and me also, but the reason these things are important, maybe not so much to where people nowadays don't have to live in a way where you've got to take care of things, but I've got a feeling, Vince, that our children, and maybe you and I both, if we live long enough, are going to see a time when they're going to figure out ways to make things last and keep going, because the prices, we're headed into hyperinflation, and people are not going to be able to afford to replace a bunch of these things.
Very well said. So, class, we have grease here, and I happen to like synthetic grease, and you can buy it from the Chinese factory outlet if you want. They have the house brand SuperTech. It's red. Now, you won't be able to see that it's red in these tubs. It comes in a one-pound tub. You can get it at the auto parts store as well. This costs more. About $5 a pound. You can get it in a tube for a grease gun. It would be synthetic grease for wheel bearings, etc. High temperature. And we buy it by the cases. And I like to keep maybe 15 or 20 tubs of this lying around when it's on sale. Sometimes we can get it for $1 or $2 because the auto parts stores can't wait to get rid of it. So we'll buy out their inventory. So we've got a lifetime supply of this. And I mark with a silver Sharpie on the top. I wipe off the top so it doesn't have any grease on it, of a brand new lid of a one-pound container. And I write bearing, BRG. And then on another one, I'll write no bearing, no BRG. And the reason for that is I am very concerned about when I put grease on a wheel bearing, I want to make sure that there's no contamination, no dust that has gotten into that grease for wheel bearings and universal joints, etc. But the other grease, I'm very careful with not to contaminate, but I might use it for putting on wheel bolts and lug nuts on tires. Now, you got to be really careful that, and this is really dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing and you put grease on a wheel stud or wheel bolt or lug nut, you can lose your wheel. So be very careful. I'm going to suggest that you don't do it. I do it, but I use torque wrenches, and I've got a lot of experience, 40 years of doing this, maybe 50. But anyway, I have two different tubs of grease. And when I grease a ball hitch, I use the one that says no bearing, meaning it might have a little bit of contamination that I can't see in there, but it's good enough for that purpose. So I do not mix the greases. Okay, I'm very careful. I use, latex gloves, and I don't want to put any dirt in either one of those containers, and I keep the lids on them. But yeah, keep that in mind. Another thing that we do with trailer hitches, every trailer hitch I've seen around here is sloppy. So the ball mount, that's the part that the trailer hitch ball attaches to, and then you put that into the hitch, and you put the pin through it, and you wiggle it around, and it moves up, down, left, and right. It's sloppy. It's sloppy from wear. Well, that wear, that slop, when you go down the road with your trailer, every bump you hit causes that thing to jostle left, right, up, down, in, out. And it just bangs and bangs and bangs. So what we do is we take a piece of aluminum flashing. That's like aluminum that would be around a chimney flashing. And we wrap that around the ball mount really tightly, so it expands the diameter of the ball mount, and we fit that into the trailer hitch, the receiver, and it takes up that slack, and we cut it to fit, and we use a ball peen hammer to punch out the holes.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me, and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252.
800-296-1252, 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount and then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Kyle Harris is with us, and we're talking about trailer hitches. So, Kyle, what we do is we take aluminum flashing that would be used for chimneys, and we have all this stuff lying around the farm from all kinds of projects. So it's about the thickness of a 3x5 file card, if you will, or an Oak-Tag file folder. That's about the thickness of this aluminum. And we cut it into a rectangle about 4 inches wide by about 12 inches long. We wrap it around the ball mount very, very tightly. And then we use then we trim it to size, and we use a ball peen hammer to punch out the holes. There's 2 holes on the ball mount, and that makes a perfectly aligned hole. And then what we do is we radius the corners of this aluminum sheet that we cut, and we slide that over the square tube of the ball mount, slide it into the trailer hitch, put the pin in it, and it doesn't have the slop. Now, sometimes you do it on 3 sides, sometimes you do it on 2 sides, sometimes you do it on all 4 sides. But it takes a lot of the slop, if not all of the slop, out of the ball mount / trailer hitch connection. Your thoughts on that?
That's a fantastic idea, Vince. I've never even considered that. But that's a great idea. I don't really have any other comments other than that. But again, folks, it's just a little bit of pre-planning to save a problem.
Okay, so class, you know, if you see any, by the way, I'm pretty darn sure I've never met Kyle. I've never met his lovely wife either. But, you know, we're all on the same page. And I have a feeling that Kyle and Sharon and Kathy and Rich, a whole bunch of your instructors, we don't throw things out. Is that true?
Oh, never. I've got so much stuff that, you know, in fact, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. The other day, my daughter is calling, and they have, she lives on a farm now with her husband and stuff, but she needed, her dog kept getting out. And so she calls and said, I know who'll have what we need. And so she said, Dad, do you have any scrap tin that laying around there that we could cut to use on this gate? And sure, I've got that, you know. I don't throw things away. I'll fix it. I've still got a Excalibur dehydrator that I picked up out of the dump. And I was looking at the circuit board on it, and it looked to me like one of the little diodes is burnt out. And eventually, one of these days, I'm going to attack fixing that and solder in a new one and see if the dehydrator will work. You know, go ahead.
Is that computer controlled or is it mechanically controlled?
Mechanically controlled with a little twist, okay. You know, it turns on.
Yeah, so if it looks like a diode, and it has two leads, one out of each end, and it's kind of pointed shaped at one end and kind of squared off at the other, it's probably a thermal limiter. So look that up and see if there's such a thing as a thermal limiter. What I'm saying is, should the heating element run away and get too hot, stay on all the time, this would prevent a fire. So that's what I believe that you're looking at. So here's an interesting thing. So yesterday, we put a new starter on my new truck. So the original starter was worn out. The truck had like over 200, a quarter of a million miles on it when I bought it. And the starter just didn't have the ability to start the engine. And, you know, the things you look at, is it the batteries, the battery cables, is it the connections, is it the starter? What is it? It could be any of those things. Well, first thing we did was we jumped it. It was, you know, with a really good, strong truck battery. And so it was the starter. So we ordered a starter on the internet. And it's a General Motors starter. And it's rated at 1.5 kilowatts or 1,500 watts. And it comes from China. Well, this silly thing almost has the ability to start the engine the first time. Almost. So you turn the ignition key to the start position, and it turns over the engine, and then it disconnects before the engine starts. So you've got the key in the start position, the engine's cranking, and then the starter says, time's up. I'm not doing it anymore. Almost long enough to start the engine. So you have to do it twice. All right. So, all right, what are we going to do with that thing? Well, it's really hard to send it back. Probably costs as much to send it back as we paid for the silly substandard Chinese part. So we go to the big box store. Oh, we try to get the original one rebuilt. They go, no, it's too shot. Can't rebuild it. The armature's too shot. So we go to the big box store, and it's $200 for the lifetime guarantee, best in class, and we get that. And they want, this is brand new. And they want the core. They want our old starter to go with the new starter. And I'll tell you more about this. You won't believe what I'm going to tell you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden asked Major League Baseball to postpone their season. USA Radio News, Dan Araki reports.
The Biden administration reportedly asked Major League Baseball to delay opening day after the league itself publicly proposed the idea. According to reporting from The Athletic, the administration approached the league with the idea of using a month-long delay to get players vaccinated against COVID-19. Officials were reportedly confident that with the anticipated emergency use approval of a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they'd be able to get all players vaccinated. The MLB Players Association is set to meet with administration officials as well, but have already rejected the idea of delaying the season. leaving spring training to begin in 2 weeks. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
John Travolta is reliving his Grease glory days with his daughter Ella in their Super Bowl ad for Scott's Miracle-Gro. 66-year-old John Travolta struggling with an iPhone tripod while his 20-year-old daughter Ella helps out. The father and daughter duo then segue into a Grease-inspired dance routine. USA Radio News.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The CDC has advice for teachers getting back into the classroom. USA Radio News Tim Berg reports.
Teachers do not need to get vaccinated against COVID-19 before schools can reopen safely. That's according to the head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Dr. Rachel Walensky. The CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices did put teachers in the frontline essential workers category, which means they will be right after healthcare workers and long-term care facility residents. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has some advice for President Biden regarding school children.
It's time for Joe Biden to stand up and say the kids are the most important things and important players here, and the teachers just are going to have to suck it up and stand up and provide an education. Otherwise, these kids have no chance whatsoever, Stephanie. It is a disaster what's happening to them.
That audio courtesy of MSNBC. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
In 2019, approximately 56.6 million students attended elementary and secondary schools in the United States. The U.S. is currently home to 16,800 school districts, Texas being the number one with 1,200. The NFL Super Bowl is Sunday from Tampa Bay, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 6:30 p.m. Eastern on CBS. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Well, you got your
take my
when you go
to the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Kyle Harris is with us, and we're talking about all kinds of tips, and he's reacting and adding information to some of the tips in the book. I think it's great. Kyle's experience, his sharing experience with you on the air. I was thinking about this starter. So the original equipment starter went to have it rebuilt after a couple hundred thousand miles, and it was shot. It was shot because the guy who sold us the truck didn't have a good battery, and the battery, under voltage, under current, caused the starter to burn up, and it can't be fixed. So one point is, if you think that, you know, I'll just jump my car and jump my car and jump my car and I'll buy a battery later, forget it. If you've got a dead battery, or a really weak battery, it can affect your driving. It can affect your transmission control computer. It can affect your lighting system computer. It can affect your engine control computer. There's probably about 100 computers in your car if you have a relatively new one. So your drivability is dependent on a good battery. And some cars have two batteries, like a Mercedes has a hidden battery. It's called a secondary battery, and that controls all kinds of things, including braking. So you need to have good batteries. All right, so that's one thing. If you postpone and jumpstart because you think, you know, you'd get a battery later, forget it. Get it before later, because then you're going to be looking at a starter and maybe an alternator. So now, you might jump the cost of, you know, a $150 battery up to $1,000 between an alternator and a starter and whatever else may go wrong. So keep that in mind. So along this line of thinking, we got a starter on the internet, and it was 1.5 kilowatts. It was not enough to start the car, but it's the one that fits. It's the one that's recommended, and it's really, you know, great reviews and all that nonsense. So what happens is you go to start the car, and it turns the engine over almost long enough for the engine to start, but not long enough. Almost long enough. So you have to start it twice, which means twice the contact wear, twice everything wear. Okay? And eventually it starts, and what happens is it disconnects prematurely. The starter disengages prematurely. So we take that out and get one from the big box store, and this is not their silver one, this is not their economy one, this is their gold lifetime guarantee one, the best one they've got. And it's 1.7 kilowatts. So it's stronger. All right, so here's what happens. We put it in, and I back the truck out of the automotive shop, and the starter does not disengage. So the first one disengages prematurely. This one does not disengage. So what happens is the starter is designed to rotate the engine, crank the engine, until it starts, and then the starter disengages. Well, this one stays engaged. That means that the engine is now turning the starter, and it will destroy the flywheel. It will destroy the starter gear. It'll destroy the armature. It'll destroy the spur gears. So I shut it off. I start it, and it starts fine. And then I drive it for like a mile, and I shut it off because I hear this noise. The darn thing engaged. So now we've got two starters, regular cost and a really expensive one. Neither one of them's any good. What I'm saying, so it's going to be, now we're up to starter number three. That's coming today. They're going to deliver a new one today. I don't know where to go. Where do you buy a starter that works? They all come from China, and they're junk. So going forward, we are going to be repairing our cars with parts that we think that we can get that are substandard, that will not last. That we see this every day now. It's not an anomaly. It's every day. So what's the new failure of the new part going to be? Kyle, any comments?
Well, you're absolutely right, Vince. And I think this is personally part of that planned obsolescence that we talked about earlier. It's pathetic how that, just like your intake manifold, that they don't provide a rubber gasket with intake manifold gaskets. It's insane that you can't buy a starter. And think about this. This is communist China that is providing things for us, and the greedy American corporations that have took it there because they can make more money on their bottom line. It infuriates me. The same kind of problem I've run into myself. And the things there are with the federal government dumping so much money into our economy, everything is going to cost much, much, much more. I'll give you a couple of examples just recently. So about 6 months ago, my wife and I decided, well, the Seal-A-Meal for vacuum packing your food, ours was not working correctly. It was a Food Saver brand at that time. And so I looked online, and the one that was not the Food Saver but the other one, Seal-A-Meal, was rated much higher and at a lot less cost. So we went to the Chinese factory outlet, and we picked up one for $29, and it worked just fine. So this is about maybe 4 or 5 weeks later, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I think we should go get another one of those things just in case, because we had the more expensive Food Saver brand that did not hold up to hardly anything. It was pathetic. Anyway, we went back there, and that same exact seal-a-meal was $39.95. Had went up $10 in 5 weeks. And then, so what happened, interestingly, so we went ahead, I bought it anyway. I told her, I said, it's just going to go up, you know. And I was at a thrift store the other day, and they had a seal-a-meal sitting on the shelf for $1. So I told her, I said, I'm going to buy it. What have I got to lose here? We took it home and used it to vacuum pack probably about 40 different bags of things that we're going to freeze and keep and wanted to keep moisture out of. But the same thing was true with 2x4s. We went the about 3 months ago. My son was down there with me, and we picked up some 2x4s. They were $5.63 a piece. So I go back about, this is about 4 or 5 weeks ago, something like that, something 6 weeks maybe. And the same exact 2x4 is now $6.19. So I told my wife, I said, this is crazy. I'm going to buy, I bought 10 more at that $6.19 price because I got a feeling that we're going to be paying 10, 12 bucks for a stinking 2x4 before the end of the year.
When we built our house, I was buying 2x4s, and I think they're about 84 cents a piece 15 years ago.
Yeah. I remember getting them for 99 cents all the time. And like you said, about 10 years ago, it was nothing.
Okay, so we talked about these defective auto parts. How about alternators? So we have a Dodge Cummins turbo diesel, and it's a 1989 pickup truck, 3/4 ton. And we can't get a good alternator. And you know, you buy them, and you buy the gold one, the lifetime guarantee. You put it in your vehicle and, you know, take the half hour that we can bang them out in a half hour, maybe even a little bit less, but, you know, there's no sense in rushing it. So you put the alternator in and you look at the voltmeter and you say, it's charging too high. It's within the range, but it's high. Well, what that means is you're going to boil over your batteries. Now, how much are batteries? Well, they used to be, 20 years ago, you could get them for in the $30 range. For those same batteries now, they're like $150. So with a Dodge Cummins turbo diesel truck, it takes two of them. So now you're looking at $150 and $150, $300 for a pair of batteries to run it. And now your brand new alternator is overcharging them. It's going to destroy the batteries. The acid is going to boil out over. It's going to corrode the terminals. Then you're going to have a weakened condition for the contact, and your starter's not going to get enough voltage, your transmission's going to act stupid, it's not going to know how to shift. So we have to keep cleaning these battery terminals because we can't, let me say it a different way, we can't seem to get an alternator that charges at the right current and voltage. So now the transmission, every, you know, once a month we have to clean the battery terminals because the transmission doesn't know when to shift because the batteries are being overcharged and weakened. And so what do? Do you go to the auto parts store and you say, look, you just destroyed with the third alternator now, third alternator under warranty, you just destroyed a new set of batteries, and I'd like a new set of batteries, thank you very much? They won't do that. So here we are, we're destroying our cars with cheap, junky Chinese products. And what happens with these things? Well, the regulators are substandard, the regular internal to the alternator is substandard. The tolerances of the electronics are not tight enough. Another example, I decided to take my temperature yesterday. We got two new thermometers. And I decided, well, let me take my temperature with one. And we got two identical thermometers at the same time. Just came in. Took my temperature. 0.3 degrees off between the two of them. Which one's right? I don't know. This is where we are. We don't make thermometers. We don't make alternators. We don't make replacement parts. The Chinese products, as I see them, are inferior and substandard. And there is an old term that was used when I was in at the university, and it related to the high cost of cheap labor. The high cost of cheap labor. So you have cheap labor making these defective substandard items. And if the high cost of it is what happens to the customer with these defective starters, alternators. So if it says make in China, I am really suspect. Now, when it comes, and Kyle, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned Mexico. Now, I got to tell you, I had an El Camino that was manufactured, Chevrolet El Camino 1985, made in Mexico. That thing was perfect. No problems. I mean, it just ran and ran and ran. Have no problems with it. As a matter of fact, I started using since 1985 was the manufactured year. I used Mobile One in it, and they said you could use it for 25,000 miles between oil changes. You could back then. Not anymore. Not anymore. Our new feeling is if you have full synthetic oil and you have a relatively new vehicle, 5,000 maximum. Maximum length of use of the oil in your crankcase if it's full synthetic, top-of-the-line brand. If it's conventional, 3,000. Those are our numbers right now. That's where we're comfortable as a maximum duration between oil changes. Back to Mexico, the brake parts, brake pads that come from Mexico, I have no problems with them. I think they're fine. They work. I have never had a serious problem with brake pads coming apart, failing, causing a risky situation for the driver of a car that we've used disc brake pads that came from Mexico. So I'm good with that. I really am. I think they do a fine job. Any comments?
I totally agree. You know, it's funny. I remember many years ago, and you probably do too, that everything was made in America, and you could count on them things just lasting and lasting and lasting. And then all of a sudden, you started seeing stuff show up and come made in Mexico, you know, and that was not quite as good as the American ones, but it was okay. You could get by with that, and it's like, you know, the frog in the water getting boiled. But they were good, you know, they weren't as good as the American made, but they were good. And then all of a sudden, you started seeing Japanese things being made in Japan. Well, they started out really crappy, and then they started getting a little bit better. And so, all right, well, that wasn't so bad then. And then now, all of a sudden, we're getting stuff from China, and it's just like they can't seem to put two things together at all that stay the same and that work right. I hate it.
Well, and when they make bearings, if it takes an ounce of grease, they go, no, we don't need it. We'll use a quarter of an ounce of grease. That's why we have so many bearing failures.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Class, I want to thank Kyle. We're not done yet, but I want to thank him for sharing his 2 hours today of expertise and his opinions on how he does things. Kyle, let's switch and put your electrician's hat on. You are an experienced commercial electrician, and I do things in wiring that I'd love to hear your comments on. These are things that are not in the book. I'm talking about the wiring books, but these are things that I think are better practices. So one of the things that I do, first of all, class, I like to use these blue boxes. You've seen them at the big box store, electrical receptacle and switch boxes. And you can get them in metal or you can get them in blue plastic. Now, the blue plastic to me makes sense because there is no danger of an electrical short between the box, which would be grounded, and the device, meaning the switch or the receptacle. There's no concern because the plastic is non-conductive. So I like that. And I know that they'll last at least 30 years because I haven't had a single failure in 30 years with these blue Carlon, C-A-R-L-O-N, brand boxes. And they're inexpensive and they work. Kyle, any comments between metal and plastic? I've used both, and I still do.
Yes, I do. For residential use, and actually almost all commercial in now is all in plastic. The theory, and it's actually a true one, is that if you're in corrosive environments at all, to use the zinc coated metal. You'll use the EMT, which is a piping that you pull the wires through, and then you'll bond those with connectors to the pipe, to the box. And then the box itself has a little wire, a screw in the back that you'll put this green grounding pigtail on, and that ties also to the ground of your receptacle, so that the entire system is bonded and grounded together as one unit. For corrosive environments, the most all of them will be used in either rigid or some type of intermediate. It's called intermediate metal conduit, which is in between the rigid solid hard steel ones and the EMT, which is the thinner thin wall tubing that is also, all of them are zinc coated if they're in corrosive environments. But commercially, yeah, it used to be when I was wiring commercially all the time, everything was in EMT or IMC or rigid pipe, depending on what damage could happen to the place you were working. If they were running forklifts around all the time, most, you know, where they were operating with a lot of that and it had to be exposed, almost all of that was done in rigid, which is the steel, real steel pipe, in case it got hit or banged into or something along those lines. But they were all bonded together as one unit, in a sense, with the ground to protect it.
Okay, and now switching to residential, what do you do? Do you use the blue plastic most of the time, the metal most of the time? What do you do with Romex?
Okay, so if you do not put for anything exposed, like in my basement for rigid, for concrete, and I did not have any of the piping inside the concrete. I mount that on the outside of the concrete and I use metal. If it's inside a 2x4, 2x6 wall, I will just pull the Romex through there, use the blue boxes, make sure things are grounded well. I'd never use those plug-ins where you can strip the wire and plug it into the back of a receptacle. I just won't do it. I will strip the wire, curl it around, put it underneath the screw so you have a really good connection. But just Romex on the inside of a wall. But if you're going to run it exposed to forces of nature, so to speak, even on the inside of your basement, what I do, like mine's running right on the outside of the concrete, I will run it in EMT thin wall pipe. And tie it all together, bonded together, and pull my wire through there with that.
Okay, that's exactly what I do. And in the walls, if I'm using Romex and I've got studded walls and it's going to be sheetrocked over, whenever possible, which is probably 99% of the time or greater, I will enter the box from the bottom. So even if the wire is coming from overhead, I'll run it behind the box. Put a loop in it, staple it, you know, at 6 inches before it goes into the box, and then the wire goes in through the bottom knockout of the box. And the reason for that is because there's always dust in these walls. No matter how good the construction, dust will enter the box, gravity will pull the dust into the box, and gravity keeps the dust from going up. So I keep more dust out of the boxes by putting the wires in from the bottom. Your thoughts? Got 10 seconds.
Great idea, Ben. That's a great idea.
Okay, Kyle, I hope we can do this more often. You've got a wealth of information that you're sharing with us, and it looks like we've figured out there are better ways besides the conventional ways of doing things. Kyle, again, thank you so much for your friendship class. I will not be available by the phone today.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.